Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind.
I'm Nikki B, and right now I'm joined on the line by my brother Azar. Welcome back to the World Show, Azar.
Greetings, Sister Nikki, and greetings to the listeners.
Yes, thank you for joining us. You know, because we're not allowed to invite guests into the studio at the moment, I wanted to each week feature a special artist who is making a difference. You know, as I spoke about songs of inspiration, healing, and courage, songs that inspire, and you've been doing just that. And I know you've got some amazing views as well on what our role is. Our roles are as artists during this time. So as I first, let's start, but tell me a little bit more about the Quarantine Chronicles.
So we find ourselves in the historic time in our lives where we are confined to the walls of our houses, and we have to therefore make sense of the moment. But also, this allows us to reconfigure because most of our socialized programmation has been that we have to be constantly running, whether it's going to work, doing that, you know. And there has been a particular vacuum in terms of the family-centeredness. So now this quarantining, in retrospect, also speaks to the recentering, the spending time with the family, the rehearsing, the getting to play with the children, the cooking, and the reflecting on the music and who we are, the introspection and meditation. And thus, as a result, I have been engaging in sessions where I do record certain reimaginations through rhythmic interpretations of works, whether they be works by other legends that I regard or whose works have impacted me. And I have been playing along with those people. And for the fact that the space where I am now, I'm unable to create, or I'm not really able to create, because of, you know, I'm close proximities, you know, so I
you are a drummer after all, yes.
Yes, you know, so I have to camouflage through various sounds and so forth. But it is nonetheless a blessing, and so I have created these programs where I'm able to reimagine certain, you know, sonic bridges that have been in existence. So I do also do audio visual recordings of those and post them online, and also address certain subject matters, whether with regard to the music itself on a technical aspect or the spirituality of the music, in line with where we are as a people, because
yes,
we do understand, after all, that the mandate of the music and the mandate of the arts is to establish order and to refine, you know, the essence of that particular order. So yes, I do tackle those issues within the music itself. And that's what I've been doing, apart from eating.
Yes, and cooking and eating with the children.
Yes.
But now, Azar, where can people access these Quarantine Chronicles? On YouTube, on Facebook? Where's the best way that people can actually find them?
Yes, on Facebook, I do post on my Facebook page, that is Azar Brand or Azar. And then I have also a site where I do explore further ideological content. Is entitled Azar Philosophies.
Yes.
And then also there are other platforms where I do also post, but primarily YouTube. I've got a YouTube channel. It's also called Azar Music. And that's where I would then post and extend to other platforms.
Yes.
Yeah, but they should be available on all social media platforms, including your Twitters and your
yes.
your Instagram and any other which way. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I saw your last one on YouTube, but I'm not going to speak about that now because we're going to come to that in just a moment. But, you know, what I wanted to speak to you about was a couple of weeks ago, you had posted something on Facebook, which for me was very profound. It was, in a sense, a call to the artists during this time. And it moved me so much that I ended my show by reading it out. And I found it, you know, very poignant and very beautifully presented. And it was speaking to the artists, and this was even before we started to see the music people were playing in Italy during lockdown, and how they all come together and you actually find people jamming together even though they're each confined to their own apartment. And I suppose, you know, in some ways it's easier in a place like that when people are living. But, you know, you speak to us a little bit about your views on that and why you felt that artists should keep performing. And for me, what's even more significant about this is one of the conversations that Azar and I have from time to time is about the struggle that artists do face in this country, and especially with, you know, the current economy declining. It's been difficult on artists, and yet he managed to bring us this inspiration. Tell us a little bit about your views on that, Azar.
Yes, Nikki. I think that, first of all, one has got to understand that we are faced, I mean, the, you know, from globally, we are all faced with the challenges of making sense of this time of loss. We unfortunately lose on economic levels. We do lose on industrial level and any other level. But mostly so, we also do lose, you know, at the spiritual level, because if you had observed the number of elders that have been uprooted from us, and these are our biobabs, these are our anchors, and we, you know, we have been, you know, confronted with these losses.
Yes, absolutely.
Of the likes of, you know, the Sanusi, Babu Credo Motwa, of the likes of, you know, the master musicians such as, Manu Dibangu, and this, they join, I mean, the troop of the ancestry, that continue to communicate with us from another realm. However, I do also want to point out to say that the significance of creating interpretive music together, whether in one space or in separate spaces, is that it allows us the opportunity, you know, to heal and to engage with our own exhaustions.
Yes.
I think that South Africa is one of the most fragile countries because we have multiple, you know, wounds that we have never addressed. The people sometimes that we look up to, who are our leaders, who are, you know, seen to be corrupt and whatever, you know, they are disrupted themselves from a spiritual level, you know, and sometimes this forces them to act not in accordance with you know, the concept of Bhutu or Ubuntu, because of the alignment is completely disrupted.
Yes.
And now the tools of our expression, and such as the music, such as the dance, such as the poetry and all other art forms, allows us to actually come in touch with our own fragility and our own exhaustion, our own sense of wonder, our own fears and so forth, and to redress these things at the spiritual realm. So what I have been doing is precisely there to tap into the music itself and to draw all forms of healing for myself. I also realize how much busy I have been in my own head. This time has allowed me to calm down and to breathe and yes. to have to face, even sometimes to some extent, the ugliness of the things that have been that I've been running away from. And this process allowed me really to confront those issues and to communicate healing to myself, because in most cases artists are the ones who are expected to be out there making people happy, providing yes. all sorts of healings for, you know, the rest of the audiences, but little attention is given to the self in terms of allowing oneself to heal, because we are constantly also having to chase after money and after yes. you know, survival means and so forth. And this sort of like we overexert ourselves in these processes.
Absolutely.
So now this space, this time, in line with whatever that is happening, nature itself is finding an opportunity to heal. We hear of how the animals and so forth in other parts of the world are coming out because of there is now the absence of human invasion and so forth. And this is how nature is communicating to us its own configuration, its own healing, you know. And this also should allow us, you know, time to also spend time with our children and to engage and to get to know them, because we have been constantly running at a mechanical level where we have lost so much of ourselves.
Yes.
So much of the time with the kids and everything. And finally, we can really breathe in our own spaces and get in and allow music to navigate and to usher us into that process of healing.
Absolutely. I am going to read a little bit about what you wrote, but I'm going to save that for after the song. There's two songs I want to play from Azar, and the first one is off his album about Tswari. It's a track called Famba. Tell me about this song, Azar.
Yes, the song Famba is actually an ancestral ceremonial graduation. So it's a ritual a song for when an initiate has graduated in terms of spiritual induction or divinity excellence. And when they go home, the prerequisite is that they are called, or they are expected to go and summon all the other energies that have assisted them to withstand the time in this training. So it basically says that famba uyoteka munhu ka wena, so go and take your other half, or your other, because we it comes from the belief that we are never on our own. We are an ensemble of unseen product. We are a mere manifestation of that, but we are held together and supported at spiritual levels, and it is in recognition of that particular phenomenon. And it says that before you even leave here, go and summon all your people so that you can have what is rightfully yours. So if you were to imagine at university, where you are eventually awarded with
your degree,
your degree and all of that, so it's this time you do not ascend the podium alone. Because in the African context is that you can never go through this process alone. It is impossible. So we're saying, before you even think of ascending this podium, go and take our summon, whoever that has assisted you to being who you are, a graduate today. Yeah, that is basically what the song is about.
Thank you, Azar. I think it's pretty obvious why you chose this song off your album. Let's hear the track now, Azar's Famba, and then we've got a very special track. We're going to chat to Azar for a little bit longer after this one. Kaya FM 95.9. Wow, what a powerful track. Famba of Azar's album, Batswadi. And thank you for joining us, Azar. And if you don't mind, are you still with us?
Yes, I'm here.
If you don't mind, I just want to again read a little piece from the full piece, taken from the full piece that you had posted on Facebook just before we went into lockdown, or was it when we went into lockdown? And I love what Azar said. He said, play for yourself and your own family. Practice for a gig you will never have. The opportunity to discover the sacredness of music in those lonely moments. Perform for your gods. Play for a plate of food and love as a payment. If you are that fortunate otherwise, play, sing and dance for your own sanity. Play for your inner man. A play until playing is no more, but what remains is becoming a better person. So beautiful, Azar. Thank you for that inspiration. Yes. So, you know, we're talking about this, and we're talking about artists that inspire, artists that bring us healing. Now, there's a much anticipated album, and I almost get into trouble when I play the one or two tracks that you gave me. Tell us a little bit about this album that we hope will be released this year.
Yes, the album sees coming together of, you know, the beautiful musician and incredible soul, Omar Sosa, who's Cuban-born pianist, with myself. It is really an attempt at defining a common thread of Africans that are born at home and those that are born abroad.
In the diaspora.
In the diaspora. So it says that if we were to mark how the exact path that we have taken to go outside of the continent, if we have to trace it back musically, this is what it would entail. So it brings together the world of the ancestry together with the contemporary post-modern world of reimagined sounds, and particularly premised or rather focused on the sounds of the North.
Yes.
Which is also not a once-off thing. It's something that I hope to carry forth on so many levels with my brother Omar.
Yes.
So the start has been that we went to the villages in Venda.
Yes.
We interacted with the elders, with the healers, with the knowledge keepers.
Yes.
And we familiarized ourselves with the knowledge traditions of the area, and we were hosted as observers in so much more that was happening. But for us, the impact was that for both of us, as we were reflecting on it, we were like, wow, although this might be appearing to be new, it is something that innately within us, our systems and our spirit can identify it deeply. So it is something that we recognize. So it felt like we have been there before, like we have done exactly the same process before.
It was like deja vu.
It's like deja vu. So it was quite a moving experience as well.
Well, the music, so, yes. The bits of music, yeah, that you've shared with me, that I've shared with the World Show family, show that. And as I always say, can you just imagine Omar Sosa and Azar together in Venda with a whole lot of other beautiful people? It's a very powerful experience.
Indeed. And I think it is just a reminder of the duty that lies ahead of us to love ourselves.
Yes.
Because there is so much more about us and so much more about this continent that we keep daily trying to run away from, but that we have to reconcile with, because that is, it is so powerful. In fact, I usually say to people that right here, it is God's address. Right here, you know, we keep on searching all over the place for the God that is right here in this place, you know, and the world as a whole looks at Africa in two ways. One, it looks at us from an opportunistic a point where they can take. And the second one is that we are the place of ultimate hope. Even though we may appear to be the ones who have nothing more than the rest may have may appear to have everything, but there is something at a soul level that Africa is able to trade with. Only if we could go back to loving ourselves, we can show the world hope, what hope is. Because here in Africa, that's where we find more hope than anywhere else in the world.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that, Azar. Now, before I let you go, you've offered us this song. It's first heard on the World Show, so thank you for that. But it's an appropriate choice from this forthcoming album that Azar did with Omar Sosa, mostly in Venda. The album is called Badzimo, but you chose this particular song. Tell us about why this song.
Yes, so the song, I have this tendency of entitling most of the certain compositions. I think the ones that have got certain, I don't know how to describe this even in English, but certain vibe to them. Like if you can imagine from Batswadi, a song like Uhuru, that has got its own vibration that reminds me so much of the process of giving birth,
yes,
to something else, and also that is aligned to a particular pain that comes with giving birth.
Yes.
So in the same token, the song, this composition, when I did it, it was in honor of the mother of my daughter Uhuru Nubia. And also to Mother Africa as the womb where the beautiful extract of African life can be seen. And we do know that in the antiquity, Nubia would then be what is today known as Sudan. And we know that the civilization that is linked to Egypt as the zenith of African civilization, it has actually started in Nubia, and therefore it is in commemoration of that particular birth of a civilization. And so when I composed the song, it was to commemorate that particular epic history, in line also with commemorating the birth of my firstborn daughter. And then thus I then named her Nubia, in also celebrating the people of Nubia, in also in celebrating the Africanness that remains with us. And so in the song we hear the beautiful accompaniment of Brother Christian Scott and Brother and the Master Brother Manu Bango, peace be upon him, and their interpretation, the accompaniment speaks to a deeper space. Also in the lyrical content, there is a recognition of the Shango, who's a deity, who's a god of thunder in the Yoruba tradition. And it is summoning Shango to say, come with your thunder, come. And because it is at a time where there is havoc, where you need thunder to come and once and for all to split what is real and what is corporeal.
Yes.
What is true and what is false. So it is the summoning of the Shango God. So the lyrics also says that Shango, 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 yeah, it is calling upon the God Shango to say, come in your power, in your strength, you know. So that is what basically what the song is about, acknowledging the feminine power in creation, acknowledging power of the womb with regard to birth and
yes.
to the pain of birth, and to every human being that has got a womb, every human being that is of the matriarchal makeup is celebrated in this song together with the God. So every woman is elevated to the God level and is acknowledged together with the God, you know, the God, the same thunder that he mentioned. It is the same thunder that could be in the narrative of what happens when there is contractions. The when just about, you know, the time when the water is about to break, the electrical energy that is experienced, it
yes.
is the same one that is in the thunder. So it is within those lines that such a song was created.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this with us. And I think what sparked this whole conversation, besides the fact that I was going to have Azar as an inspiring artist on the World Show during this time, but was the fact that his last quarantine chronicle was essentially, I suppose, connecting with the spirit of Manu Dubango. And Manu Dubango is also featured in this song. So, Azar, I'm going to play it now. I thank you so much for your music, for your philosophies, and for the healing and inspiration and hope that you give through your work.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Nikki, and thank you for your teachable spirit and your open and warm heart. I thank you, and thank you to your listeners.
Thank you, Azar. Bana.
Rewinding Kaya FM on FM Rewind. Visit kayafm.co.za for more.